Tuesday.
Wendell's afraid he's got the hiccups. We stopped recording, and then he was like... Burr.
I thought I was going to hiccup just then. It's actually Wednesday, and it's July 18th of 2018.
I kind of hope you do. Because it's hilarious.
I don't think I've ever heard you hiccup in all the years that...
There's a... I think one of the very first things we posted to Patreon was a video of me hiccuping.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of clips of that are just, like, funny clips. I think there is one of you hiccuping, and you got steadily angrier throughout the clip.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing about it is you have no control over it. And, like, you're so desperate to keep communicating, and it just keeps interrupting you.
Speaking of someone so desperate for something and the world just keeps interrupting him, let's talk about Musk.
Again, well, Tesla.
Tesla plots a bold China factory move, but stays silent on costs. Now, didn't he promise...
Not to spend any more money, not to ask for any more money this year.
Raise any more capital, to borrow more money, yes.
But Shanghai, he's doing some sort of mega factory in Taiwan. Didn't he talk about like not automating and some other stuff?
Well, the reason he's probably doing this, I don't think they've admitted it, but the tariffs between the U.S. and China now would severely impact cars.
But if he makes them locally?
Right. They would not be subject to that. So he wants that Chinese market, but the tariffs would make it... He'd be losing money on every car.
Impractical, yeah.
So you got to build them locally.
But so this changes everything.
He has to make a plant there. Right. And that costs money, but he's not going to get any more money.
Now, China could be heavily subsidizing this. Because that's... They probably want a huge factory, right? I mean, why not? That's jobs. It's a lot of taxes they could pull in from that. But I don't think they'd pay for it completely. I think and they've burned through so much money making the Model 3s, there can't be enough left to build a factory, can there? It seems unlikely.
Stay tuned to the Level 1 news and we'll report on it.
Find a way.
The Tesla factory workers were reportedly offered free Red Bull and walked through raw sewage to meet Model 3 quotas. Now, I read this story. I didn't think the walking through raw sewage was that big of a deal.
It is kind of.
I like how their response was, we fixed that plumbing problem very quickly.
So, they didn't even deny it. Yeah. Listen.
But they talk about the, like, when you're so hopped up on Red Bull and you've been working for 36 hours, they had a nickname for that. That was the Tesla stare. When you were just the dead eyes and you're just wandering around in sewage.
Got shit all over your boots.
Now, some of this is older news, too, because it says in one supposed incident in late 2016, a factory worker had his leg amputated after being struck by a forklift outside the main building. Drive-thru forklift had been doing donuts and has since been fired. So,
can we really, I mean, the first to go after Musk, but can we really blame him for a guy doing donuts?
Yeah, that's just irresponsible.
It's all fun and games until somebody's leg gets amputated.
Also, 2016, and they had a building? What a luxury. Now they're working in tents.
Yeah, sewage tents.
Oh, and like the heat. Oh, and the sewage, like the smell would be captured in there. Oh.
Well, this whole story read like the whole, you know, I'm taking it with a larger grain of salt than usual because a lot of the incidents reported are older and donuts with the forklift does not help your credibility in this case.
Well, as we saw with the Thai boys, he's on kind of a downswing with his popularity right now. People love to hate him at this point. So I think, you know, you live by the media, and now you're going to die by the media. You know, the biggest thing, I didn't include it, it just happened. They uncovered that Musk donated a bunch of money to a right-wing PAC.
And
the liberals are losing their mind over it. It was apparently like a anti-climate change PAC. Huh. And, you know, that's one of his big causes. Hmm. So
I wonder what that's about.
He's having a hard time digging out of that one.
Speaking of companies changing their tune? No, I don't know. Sprint is joining its three larger rivals with new and more complicated unlimited mobile data plans. So in this case, unlimited is in quotation marks, and unlimited does not mean unlimited. But Sprint is taking away, like when they can detect that you're streaming video, you're going to get HD video or maybe even DVD quality video, with the default being DVD quality video.
Unless you go for, that's the $40 plan.
Yeah.
Then there's the $50 plan that gives you a little bit more. Then there's the $70 plan where you can have HD streaming.
On the one hand, I don't know that I have that much of a problem with doing this kind of, like, if they said, we're going to limit you to HD streaming by limiting the amount of bandwidth that you have on this unlimited plan to be, like, you know, 600 kilobits a second or something, I think I would be okay with that. But if it is something else, then I think I've got a problem with it.
But you use the word limit.
Yeah, couldn't they just change the name and, like, yeah, solve the problem?
I don't think you should be able to call any of these unlimited, because bandwidth limit is a limit.
Well, I think that it would be like the old, you may, like the old school DSL plans. Like, you can get 1.5 megabit unlimited transfer, 3 megabit unlimited transfer, or 6 megabit unlimited transfer. It'd be like that, but mobile. I'd be okay with that.
It's not unlimited.
Yeah.
And they'd have to advertise it that way. They couldn't just say, oh, these are all unlimited.
But see, the word unlimited in itself, it implies, is, yeah, misleading.
It's the implication.
Well, it's unlimited in the amount of data that you can transfer, but not how fast.
Do you think, what percentage of the mobile market is savvy enough to understand?
0.3%.
Something, yeah, like that. Yeah. So,
in which case, you're misleading your consumer.
They should just call it...
It needs another name.
Yeah, I don't know what you would call it. Whatever you're going to call it is going to make it sound a lot less appealing. And I think that's the argument. That's why they don't call it that. That's why they lie to you and say it's unlimited.
You could call it the fast lane.
Literally call it.
Just call, like, it, yeah.
This is the slow lane, this is the medium lane, this is the fast
and
lane.
Then, yeah, or just don't call the other ones anything and then just say this one's the best lane.
That would be a great, like, if the FCC weren't toothless, one of the things that they could do is be like, okay, you can do whatever kind of plan you want, but we get to name it.
Oh. I want to use my 6 megabit of fast lane for doing anything I damn well please, whether that's watching video or remote access or whatever. That should work really
I'm
well.
I'm trying to think of... I'll think of a cleverer name later. If not, our commenters will.
You know, we talked in the business episode about the whole HBO, AT&T, Time Warner merger and that whole love triangle. Let's talk about the business aspect of that, because that was the governmental aspect.
Well, is it really the business? I guess it's the business. So AT&T wants to talk about the business of it
to their shareholders.
But HBO, their thing is, well, Game of Thrones is a great example. Everybody who's anybody loves Game of Thrones.
Crazy. Oh, she hasn't seen it, has she?
That's, I don't, right, watch it. I
she
read
reads
the
Wikipedia.
I read the Wiki.
That's like reading sheet music and being like, oh, these Rolling Stones are good.
But listen, I probably know more about the lore than you do at this point.
Come on. But HBO, that's their thing. They spend a bunch of money to make a couple of really amazing TV shows. Really super popular. Did they do, was House of Cards theirs?
Westworld.
Not
that's
House
their
cards.
Big
House
thing right now.
They did, you know, in the past, of course, this is, you know, becoming ancient history, but my favorite shows, Sopranos, Deadwood, incredible. And The Wire, they did all these amazing TV shows, spent a lot of money for one show, and that's their business model. But AT&T, they don't like that.
Ars Technica has got this amazing article. AT&T wants to overhaul HBO, says it isn't profitable enough. And then you think, oh no, is HBO on the rocks because they've got all this amazing stuff? No. They made $6 billion last year in profit.
They're very profitable, but AT&T wants more.
It's not about quality, it's about quantity with AT&T, I think.
Well, didn't AT&T just tell the Department of Justice that they would be able to cut costs with this merger and blah,
they're
going to
cut costs for HBO, but then they're going to, you know, just churn out garbage.
They also just cut HBO out of most of their unlimited plans to try and force you into the upper tier.
So they're into the extra unlimited plan.
They're wielding it like a club, but then they want to tram down the club.
So AT&T, so what you're saying is that consumers, AT&T thinks consumers are willing to pay more to get their HBO content, whether that's through the data plan, or whether that's because HBO has better content, or whether HBO can increase volume in addition to quantity. It's consumers are willing to pay more, which is not what they told the DOJ.
Right, and this, of course, is why the DOJ is going after them again. The really terrifying thing that they talk about here is the AT&T CEO guy who's talking. He's like, you know what? We see a lot more people are watching on mobile, and we're not sure that Game of Thrones, for example, is mobile friendly. That's an hour long. No one's going to watch that on mobile. What if we did a Game of Thrones show that was 20 minutes?
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe one scene.
Yeah, one scene at a time. They'd probably give you one a week. Oh, it's a terrible, terrible future we're looking at.
That'd be so hard with that many characters. Like, a show with that many characters. Maybe it's not Game of Thrones, maybe it's something else. But, like, who is this guy again? Like, why do I care about this person from another part of the world?
That would not be good for my attention deficit problems, because I would end up rewatching the last 3 or 4 weeks' scenes when the next week's come, because I just can't remember what happened.
But also, the move is away from serializing TV shows anyway. Just give it to us all at once, because that's how we're going to watch it, right? And HBO is one of the few places that can still get away with that. And it sounds like AT&T is going to try to destroy that, too.
The AT&T guy's watching a lot of YouTube content, and it's like, all the really successful YouTube stuff is only 10 minutes long. Let's emulate that.
Or, they're thinking, true. You know what was really successful? YouTube Red. All that content? Yeah. Aren't the kids into that stuff? The PewDiePie? Markiplier?
Oh, like, man.
They kind of are. But I don't think YouTube Red was a rousing success either.
I'd say that the guy from AT&T is probably on the phone right now with the Real Doll people to find out if they can work in some kind of product placement or something in Westworld.
Oh. That's a really weird dystopian.
I thought you were going to say Game of Thrones.
Like, oh, the Real Dolls. Yeah. The White Walkers are Real Dolls.
Let's talk about the new MacBooks. Apple's refreshing their new MacBook line just in time for the 8-core CPUs to come out. So yeah, you can get Macs with the 6-core CPUs, which have been out for a while now for everybody else. And Apple says the new Mac Pro keyboard won't fix the sticky key issue, but it has been updated. So iFixit did a teardown of this keyboard, and there's a rubber membrane inside it, and that wasn't there before. Apple says that's to make it quieter.
Well, this CNET kind of quietly surmises that maybe they did fix it, but they're unwilling to say they fixed it because then people would be angry because they had the bad version.
I saw a blog post from a lawyer or something, and I tried to go back and find it for the article, and I can't find it. But between what that guy was saying and what's in CNET here and the iFixit teardown, here's what I think's happening. I think Apple has been sued, and they said that we didn't know this was a thing. And I think that the presence of the membrane being in there means that, yes, in fact, they did know this was a thing, that the keyboards would tear up around the end of the warranty period for these devices. And so I think if they say, we've got a fix for this, or that we think we may have a fix for this, it's going to undermine their court case where they're saying, we didn't know.
Still a garbage keyboard.
It also is still a
trying
garbage
to make
keyboard.
It quieter.
Yeah, I don't care how quiet you make it, and people love the tactile.
Yeah, who wants a quiet keyboard? I want everyone to know I'm angry when I'm typing.
I guess when you're in Starbucks working on your startup, you don't want to disturb the people next to you.
There's also a patent application for this change to the keyboard, and in the patent application, they talk about the rubber membrane being used to prevent debris from entering the key, which could possibly affect the mechanism, which I think is probably damning for their court case. But we'll see. We'll stay tuned for that. We'll report on that. It's going to be amazing.
We should get a new iMac and a box of crackers and do some empirical testing.
That would actually be a fun video.
You joke
it'd be
about
stupid,
it.
But
what's the cheapest one? $1,500.
Yeah, probably. It's insanely expensive.
You joke about that, but literally, while I was there, Linus ordered one of those MacBooks, probably for something exactly like that. Uber's next big thing is Lime scooters to get around town.
Let's go down and see that picture. Look at that winner.
Oh,
he's got Lime hands.
Yeah, he's got
his driving gloves.
Oh, man. How do you, like, if you see him, you immediately get that GTA
urge to run him over.
Oh, I need to run him down.
I bet he has at least $5 on it.
I see people on these and I think, that looks pretty cool. And then I think about my hand-eye coordination and think that I would probably end up in the hospital.
There was nothing cool about that.
Wendell, no. What, with your giant, laptop bag?
Yeah. What, 50-pound backpack? Yeah.
You'd be looking at your phone, too.
Yeah.
One hand.
Casey Neistat makes it look so easy.
Oh, he uses that the boosted board.
Yeah, which does not have a handlebar.
He's an idiot. He's gonna get really hurt on one of those one day.
I see the bikes everywhere, though. You know, like...
Oh, rent a bike, yeah.
Well, that's this Lime company.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, so these, it's basically the same thing. And
I can see the bike a little bit more. Because it's like, you know, I feel like you can go faster in a bike. You can, you know, strap cargo onto a bike. But a scooter is just so tiny. And it's like, is it really that much faster than just walking?
Well, it could be, because people would be tempted to take it places you wouldn't take a bike. But the rules are actually the same. You're not allowed to take these on sidewalks and stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently a lot of people do. And they're against these for that reason.
It's hard for me to imagine anybody over the age of like 40 or 45 on one of these, in all honesty.
What? Do you see a lot of those people on bikes?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Anything from Lyme. Like, I don't think that... I mean, how is this really going
to... Well, I'd say anyone who's probably over, like, 35 probably has enough money to buy their own bike. And they're not going to bother.
There's going
to
be,
they're
going
to be, like, a cycling enthusiast.
But there's going to be 5 million comments from the millennials. It's like, we're never going to have any money. You destroyed the economy.
You did.
Be that as it may.
Well, bikes, a cheap bike is not that expensive. It's like $100, which, not to say that that's super cheap, but you could save for that pretty quickly, I would think, even at a minimum wage job.
I don't know. It's real cheap to rent these things, though, right? I don't know what they cost to check out.
If you were using it as your daily transport, it would probably be cheaper just to buy a bike.
But if you, I think the idea
not if you're
here,
a millennial.
The idea here is, like, Uber, you've got the same app. So, it's raining, I need to get a car. It's nice out, let me get the bike. I only need to go a couple of blocks, let me go for the scooter. You know, it's just sort of all in the same place. And these are just locked up everywhere, so you can get to one easily.
Only need to get to a block. I could just walk and save the, you know, $5 it takes to rent this, or
no.
But I gotta call someone to deliver a scooter to my house.
I gotta do some sweet grinds.
On the way. And, you think you can do a lot of grinding
and
on
a reverse
scooter?
360 while I get there.
How else will everyone know I'm cool?
This story, I'm surprised, was not in like Bloomberg and other places like that. Amazon Web Services targets Cisco in networking.
This was Wall Street Journal.
Oh, we
but
had
it
to,
was paywalled.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually huge news. So Amazon Web Services, AWS, you know, everybody's running infrastructure from Amazon. Amazon knows more about doing business at scale than most other companies at this point, including Cisco, I would wager, and Juniper and other companies like that. I mean, historically, those companies have worked with, like, I'm talking 10, 20 years ago, companies like Cisco would work with the big players in the market, and whatever they learned working for those people, they would bring to the smaller players, because the smaller players would need the same kind of features that the bigger players needed. So it was a nice sort of symbiosis. We've gotten away from that. Amazon's basically doing all its own infrastructure now, so they're thinking, hey, we can get in the network switch game, and I think that they actually could do that really competently and really inexpensively, because almost everything is software-defined networking now. Cisco's patent portfolio is going to be a problem for Amazon, I think, but in general, I'm surprised they didn't do this sooner.
But the thing about it is, Cisco, they're so bloated at this point. You know, they're the fat cat. They're kind of sitting back and coasting on that portfolio and what they've got now in their name. So Amazon is looking to bring these things out for a fraction of the price.
Yeah.
Like maybe 20% the cost.
Oh, probably not even that.
The Cisco equivalent. And, you know, you're going to get that Prime shipping. It's going to be at your door in 2 days. Probably going to have an amazing support system for it. Yeah, I think they'll be super successful for this.
I think Cisco is going to become probably in pretty short order like Oracle. Now, Cisco has some other products, and so Cisco could transition into other markets and just let this play out as it will. But they could also become like Cisco, which is basically like suing their customers. And
Oracle,
yeah. Oracle will like sue their customers, and it'll descend into like license hell. And also, Cisco does actually have a pretty significant IP portfolio on this. But, you know, it turns out being able to run Linux on some of this networking gear, just on the bare metal, gives you all the flexibility that you need from this enterprise gear. So 20% may even be a high estimate for some of this gear that, you know, even medium-sized companies need at this point.
Cisco and Juniper's stock prices were really, really, really savagely hit as soon as this was announced. Kind of like when Amazon announced they were getting into the grocery game. All the grocers' stocks took a big hit, because if Amazon's getting into your business, that's bad news.
Bad news.
It turns out that TechCrunch? Yes, TechCrunch. Amazon's share of U.S. e-commerce market is now 49% or 5% of all retail. Think about that.
That's incredible. So to put it in perspective, Walmart online retail, 3%. eBay, 6%. And that's number two. So it goes from 49 to 6.5.
So what you're telling me is we need to get the level one merch in the Amazon store.
What I'm telling you is get in a time machine and tell your past self to buy AMZN as much as you can get your hands on.
I don't understand how. I mean, because Amazon in the beginning was just bleeding everyone, money. They spent their way out of that.
Nothing happened. Everything's fine.
It definitely wasn't a catastrophic failure.
Don't worry about that weird jump cut.
At least it happened in between our stories. The next stories are, you know, I don't know. I don't something something next stories.
We've lost our groove now. The rest of the show's going to be weird.
It's just garbage. Just the garbage that we are. It's fine. We're all garbage, aren't we? It's totally cool.
Well, the number of problems on this episode are growing. Much like PC sales.
According to the Gartner Group, global PC shipments grew 1.4% in Q2 of 2018, the first increase in 6 years. You know what else is the first thing that's happened in 6 years? AMD Ryzen. Look, chill. There's the hot jar.
These were all business business PCs, though.
Yeah.
Consumer PCs still dropping, yeah. Unfortunately. So.
Well, people, businesses are hitting that 5-year cycle because businesses still are rocking like the Sandy Bridge machines, and those Sandy Bridge machines, there are compelling reasons finally to upgrade from Sandy Bridge, finally. So,
but yeah. At least you know with the mobile apocalypse, it's good to see that we're not completely transitioning to using our phones. Maybe when they figure out how to do phones for like data entry type stuff, then we'll finally see.
That'd be miserable, a little tiny keyboard.
Dock your phone. It's just.
Yeah, I'd say that's coming eventually.
It is kind of disrupting a lot of like the service industry, things like plumbers and electricians and stuff that are like home service people. They do all of that through apps on their phones and stuff now. Like it's like, oh, I'm going to run a plumbing shop. I need a computer system for managing. No, you get an iPad. And you subscribe to the iPad and have everybody do everything on their iPhones, which is insidious and also interesting.
Which we'll see in a later story. But, you know, one of the things, one of the most disturbing comments that I see a lot of are, no, guys, seriously, Fortnite's fine on mobile.
I refuse to accept that.
But I haven't tried it, so I can't.
I can't knock it, but it seems to me like that would be a horrible experience.
Broadcom is buying Computer Associates, CA, for $19 billion. Now, CA is a software company. Has really not a lot to do with the mobile thing here. There's not really a lot to this article, but it does mention that, you know, Intel bought McAfee, and that really didn't work out for Intel. I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably not going to work out for Broadcom. $19 billion for a software company? Jeez.
Well, I think they sort of admitted they can't compete with Qualcomm, so... What do you do? You got to try to branch out into something else, maybe.
I tried to look into... I've used Computer Associates products before, but it was not as bad as McAfee. Like, when the Intel McAfee thing happened, I think I openly mocked that. I don't know enough about the software, knowing that McAfee software was terrible. I don't know enough about CA software to say if it's really good, but I looked through it, and it seemed like a lot of what CA does anymore is in, like, the mainframe and, like, super enterprise space. So maybe Broadcom is trying to make itself useful for people that use mainframes, which a lot of the time are governments and also very huge corporations that control a lot of stuff. So if I were a spook and I were worried about foreign companies doing stuff with stuff, I'm not sure that I would like them buying a company that does software that work on the Fortune 500 and government's database systems and enterprise, like tape backup. And like, this is places where all of the information that you would need to do, never mind.
Well, you also get a sense of like, they raised all this capital and they were like, we got to merge with somebody. Just find somebody.
I mean, if they're not going to merge with the other IC company on antitrust issues, or not antitrust issues, but the whole like, I don't know.
Just merging with someone because they're settling down. They're settling.
They're baby crazy. Their biological clock is going off.
They got to find someone.
They got to merge and reproduce.
I'm not sure what sort of unholy offspring would actually be beneficial from those two. It would be some sort of horrid thing from like Fallout universe. Speaking of horrid things, Magic Leap has finally demoed its headset. And the headline says it's disappointing.
Are you saying magic isn't real?
It is real disappointing.
the demo that they showed, the little rock man, is incredibly bad. It looks like Atari level visuals.
Scroll down so we can see it.
Oh Lord!
Look at him. I mean, that's a still frame, but the resolution does not improve all that much when you play the video. Look how pathetic that is.
Oh. Oh, it's like it was like it was coming at me.
Oh my God, I pissed my pants a little bit.
Now the demo that they had before was a whale coming out.
Yeah, this never really materialized.
Yeah, this
is like an E3 demo. Happened.
So you're gonna have to go watch those videos to experience the disappointment for yourself.
And they also the final product, like we expected little glasses, but scroll down and show the guy wearing it.
Yeah. Oh, that guy looks like a winner. If you want to look like that guy, you could buy this.
Yeah, you're not going to avoid attention if you're wearing that on the bus.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so the Magic Leap was none of the above.
Not magic.
It was a bit of a stumble.
Yeah.
Canadian telecoms make the most revenue per wireless gigabyte in the world. So
yeah, we talked about earlier, India was the best. Turns out Canada's the worst.
Turns out Canada's the worst. Period.
Oh.
Wendell actually liked Canada.
Do you think they sell data in bags up there?
Like milk? They don't have bag milk in that. Well, they do, but it's rare. And it's the other side of Canada that has the bag milk.
Oh, so you had actual carton milk?
Yeah.
Did you ask Linus? You're like, hey.
I did, yeah.
Oh, did he give you any?
No. The people in his office were like, you know, we've only ever seen bagged milk at like the IGA. It's not at most grocery stores or whatever.
Maybe they were embarrassed. Maybe they hid all of it. Maybe that office was stocked every wall full of bagged milk, and they're like, Wendell's coming, we gotta hide it.
Well, they might not have bagged milk, but they are paying a lot for their mobile data plans.
The mobile data plans in Canada, this is not good because like Australia, you're not worse than Canada, which is I don't even know how that happens. So yeah, I mean, Jesus, this is sort of insane.
But they also have a lot of, like, they have low population density.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think that a lot of people are depending purely on mobile.
Well, the global multinationals that are these communications companies are going to look at the profit margins in Canada and try to squeeze those margins out of everybody else. And they're sure trying here in America. It's bad. It's real bad. We probably would have that profit margin here if our connections were faster, but it's... Our mobile data connections here in America are like a little bit faster than dial-up.
Now, there were some countries that were a little bit worse, like
Pakistan,
Czech Republic, Belgium, Greece, which, you know, Greece is basically just falling apart.
Syria is probably a little worse.
But Canada was definitely the most most technologically advanced country that was treating their people like that. So, unfortunate.
Adobe plans to launch Photoshop for the iPad in a shift in strategy. So, yeah, I don't know that it's a shift in strategy if they're suggesting that Adobe has abandoned any kind of like real programming on the desktop Adobe suite in favor of other things.
Well, they talk about, I suppose, when the iPad became the thing, they kind of froze putting things that they were sort of waiting for the iPad to get good enough to run Photoshop.
I see.
And we've reached that point.
There's so much, like with the Apple Pencil, there's so much that Apple could be doing with Adobe and that creatives could be just spurging out over. And things like, you know, using the iPad as a screen, for like a companion screen for your MacBook or for your desktop Mac, that neither of which will have a touch screen. I mean, it seems like people would wig out and love to have that functionality. And I think there are third-party apps that kind of sort of give you that functionality. But Apple's ecosystem is so locked down, it's really hard for third-party app developers to deliver those kinds of experiences. But imagine, for video editing, using your iPad as like a companion control surface for like video editing and doing all kinds of creative work. I mean, Apple could be in vogue in the creative sector again, but they lack the imagination to do that.
I don't know, as someone who uses Photoshop a lot, I don't know, like, because there's not a lot of screen real estate there, I don't know how much I would really like that. Well, I don't know how practical it would be for like web design or something like that. Maybe just photo manipulation, sure.
About like the interface though, like if you had all the horsepower of your desktop computer, but then you've got that nice Retina display, like you could look at it up, you know, really close.
Except
and move
that's
it
not a normal use case for the stuff I work on.
Well, okay.
You know, no one's going to be holding their iPad right here.
But you're also talking about, there's no way Apple's going to do that with a PC interface.
No.
So if you're going to need the Apple desktop to also do that, then okay, now you've spent $5,000 on everything plus a subscription. And what they're talking about here is they're trying to get those people who've abandoned the PC.
Just doing everything.
And bring them into the fold. Get them on a subscription. So definitely not what they're looking to do. They're looking to increase the bottom line, not make it better.
Yeah. And that's the fundamental problem with Adobe is that for a long time, they just want to increase the bottom line. They don't actually want to make it better.
They mentioned the going to the subscription model instead of actually selling you software, 700% increase in their stock price.
If you're not doing something that requires typography, just use Krita. It's free. It's open source. Take it.
There's also some the rate at which other video editing suites are catching up to the video and special effects capabilities of the Adobe suite are also rapidly encroaching on Adobe territory because Adobe is asleep at the helm.
But see, it's like Cisco. They're a verb at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The name of their software is a verb, and they're going to be able to coast on that for a long time.
Browser benchmarks. Let's talk about browser benchmarks. Chrome versus Firefox versus Edge. It is a grudge match on VentureBeat.
Firefox will always be my winner. I'm afraid, love Firefox.
I'm afraid VentureBeat did not agree. Wow. They gave the win to Chrome, but actually each one of them won a different benchmark, and it was kind of neck and neck. Chrome won, what, 4 versus everybody else's 3, but still.
Yeah.
Close.
Firefox has come a long way with the newer versions of Firefox. Firefox is a joy to use again. It is a compelling alternative.
I just like their developer tools better.
Yeah.
I've always liked their developer tools better.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have one with no ad blocker to preview in, and then you have the other one. You have to have a logged in state and a logged out state. So
yeah, I usually flip between, but like just for home browsing, I use Firefox.
You use Chrome and Firefox, and you don't use Edge because
Edge is disgusting.
I don't care how good they make Edge, they will never erase. And that's Internet Explorer. You know, it's Internet Explorer.
It's the E. The E is for evil.
Rename it all you want. We'll never forgive you.
Well,
ever.
And it really, it does still have some weird bugs, like some weird things that aren't uniform compared to Chrome and Firefox. Safari for me is like the new IE. Safari always has something weird with it. It displays things differently than other browsers.
Yeah.
Safari was such garbage, not even mentioned by VentureBeat.
Yeah, Safari just.
I don't consider Safari to be a browser.
That's just
a mistake some people make.
At one time, it was okay. It is. It's garbage.
It's a dumpster. Dumpster fire. And yet, I still have to optimize for it.
Nearly 1,000 paintings drawn by Vincent van Gogh have now been digitized and put online. So if you're looking to get into the art forging game, I've got a new resource for you.
Or if you're an art history major and you need resources, these will probably be a lot better quality too. An issue you run into when you're searching for paintings and things like that is if you just Google like Starry Night, there'll be like subtle variations in color, and it's like, well, which one's the most realistic? I'd imagine the one that came from the source will be the most realistic, and now you'll have an official source to look at.
Also, pro criminal tip. If you're trying to get into the counterfeit art game, don't start with Van Gogh.
Don't start. Work your way up.
Yeah, that's master level.
I don't know. This is master level? I mean...
No, I mean... People
Wendell,
are,
can you do that?
No, I can't. But
I'm saying people are going to be a little bit more familiar with Van Gogh.
His style.
And they're going to maybe question a little bit more of why you have a Van Gogh and you're selling it out of the trunk of your car.
You're saying that maybe a Pollock would be a little easier?
Well, to be fair, mm-hmm. Van Gogh, like, he was not well received in his time. And his mother used to take his paintings and use them to, like, nail up holes in her chicken coop. So you could say, like, you know, cover it in chicken shit and say this was one that was nailed to his mother's chicken coop.
Is a painting a useful hammer tool?
She would use it as, like, fencing material.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sad fact for the day.
Today you learned on Level 1 News.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's going to trigger Krista.
It does trigger me, and that's why I included it.
Create artwork for Mortal Engines.
Mortal Engines is some young adult fantasy movie. This came up just randomly on social media, and
well, it wasn't random.
It was, yeah.
Because what does the first paragraph say?
What does it say?
Makers of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
It's Peter Jackson was the one who announced it. He was like, "We're having a contest to
the algorithm wins again."
Yeah. We're having a contest where you guys can make us a poster, and then we'll use it internationally, and you get $2,000 and exposure. don't do this. Don't ever do this. This is spec work. This is where they're trying to get you to do work for either you're either severely underpaid or you're not paid at all. And this is garbage. This is a horrible business practice. And they're going to get garbage because you should hire someone and actually pay them a living wage if you want good work.
If you have to do some fan art, I would recommend doing Pregnant Sonic.
I thought you were going to say Level 1.
Oh, there's that Twitter account of the Pregnant Sonics.
Pregnant Sonic is the best.
It's just bad Sonic fan art, but for some reason people love to draw Pregnant Sonic, and I don't know why.
It's never going to get old. I never get tired of seeing Pregnant Sonic.
Or Pregnant Tails.
No, I haven't seen that one. It's always Sonic.
I don't know why he's always the pregnant one.
Well, he's maternal.
Yeah, of course.
Oscar, the AI trash can, sorts your garbage and recyclables. So yeah, it's like you put crap in and then it figures it out.
Well, not only does he figure it out, but sometimes...
put her phone in there.
Just throw some garbage. Yeah. When he doesn't know, he'll beep and you must teach him. So you press a button. It's like, no, this is a recyclable.
So I had the recycling situation on my recent trip to Canada was really interesting. There were two trash cans. It was this way in my hotel as well as in Linus's office. And this was actually at the Monday staff meeting too, so that they had to discuss this a little bit. So there's two bins. One, this was my hotel. So the exact wording on the bin at my hotel was food waste and paper goes in one side and plastic only, no food scraps, in the right recycling thing.
That leaves out a lot of categories, doesn't it?
Where would you put, say, a fork covered in peanut butter that's a plastic fork?
You give it to Rue, let her lick the peanut butter off, and then throw it away.
Well, you take a napkin and you wipe it off, then you put that in the paper away. Yeah. Foodstuffs and paper.
Yeah, foodstuffs and paper.
So you have to kill a tree. Here's
I'm confused. How does this work?
Here's something more interesting. It wouldn't affect Canada, but here in the States. So when we do recycling, what we do is they separate it out, and then they send it off to these big plants. And what they do is they don't process it there completely. They kind of melt it down or scrunch it into these big cubes, and they throw them on a ship, and they send them over to China. And China deals with it. That's how we do our recycling. That's how it works in this country.
How we used to. China's not accepting that anymore.
Until the tariffs. So now what we do...
Send it to the Philippines.
We scrunch it up, and we put it in these big cubes, and we load it onto a truck, and we take it right to the landfill. There's no recycling. We're not recycling anymore.
That's what the Space Force is for. They're going to just carry that garbage right up into space.
Have you seen WALL-E?
Launch it into the sun?
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing about Oscar. And, of course, he's called Oscar because...
Oscar the Grouch,
which is kind of fun. Oscar, so you take a look at him. Made of cardboard, except for the top part, which has the computing in it. $1,000.
I don't understand. So, like, it's cardboard. What happens if you have something, like, kind of nasty? Like, what if you throw a banana peel in there? Or, like, you know, something leaks, and then it gets on the cardboard, and then you have to replace your $1,000 cardboard trash can.
Yeah, like in the Canadian recycling paradigm, I've got a greasy pizza box. Where the hell does that go? Because
you just have to keep it forever.
You know what else is going to be tough with Oscar? Drunkenly vomiting into him. Because he's got that little...
Is that a thing you do often?
He's got that little compartment before he decides. You know, and if you vomit into him... What's he going to decide to do with it?
Oh, and you're drunk, and he's like, "Hey, I need help with this," and it's like, "Oscar, not right now." And he's like, "You never listen to me," and you start a whole fight, and you're drunk, and Oscar's covered in vomit. And...
Well, here you've got the compost pile, and then it's like plastic and glass, and that's it.
Yeah.
On paper.
That goes in the compost pile.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to go ahead and admit to the horror of some of our more liberal viewers. I've never bothered with any kind of recycling.
I recycled when I was in college when I had access to it, but like I live in an apartment now and you can't get a recycling bin. So
it turns out the paper also is interesting in that you can recycle paper like once or twice, but after that it's just compost. Like, so unless you know the paper is not already recycled, then it should probably go in the compost pile and not the recycle pile. But if you have a lot of paper that is actual paper, not recycled paper, which no paper is now, then that could be recycled, but already recycled paper is worth much less than recycled paper. And it, like, recycling 6 or 7 times, it's impossible.
The word recycle no longer has meaning to me. It's semantic satiation.
It's too much work, and I consider the fact that I never intend to have children my carbon, my carbon credits. I do whatever I want.
Yeah. You can trade that in for the government. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. NVIDIA is using AI to clean up messy photos, and it did a really good job.
It did a good job. It's a little bit blurry, but, you know, I understand what that is.
Well, you can understand before as well, I think. Yeah. You put that together. But this, the impressive thing about this is that koala was purposely noised.
Yeah, it's a filter. It didn't deserve
that. But it's the MRI shots, which are naturally grainy, that it does such an amazing job. And that's how they taught the AI. They fed it all these MRI photos. And that's going to be a very useful thing to do with this.
I worry that there's still not a good enough signal-to-noise ratio to actually get something out of there. And that the ungrain of the MRI scan is going to insert features into my brain scan that result in them doing surgery, and then they'll be like, oh
there's nothing here. They've just been digging around.
You're going to have a strong lawsuit against NVIDIA if that ever happens.
Because you're an AMD shill. You're going to do it on purpose.
Their AI totally did it.
He's playing the long game.
Turns out those guys in Russia that murdered each other both had brain scan stuff done, and you know, that's why one of them murdered the other ones. Cause,
oh, yeah, from the story last week. Those two guys killed each other. Well, the one guy killed one.
Software beats animal tests at predicting the toxicity of chemicals. So this is another exciting thing where the algorithm wins again. Oh, look, he's so cute. He doesn't have to die.
A little Rupert.
But here's the thing. Here's what I question about this. They trained the AI with data from animal studies. What? Wouldn't you continually have to refresh that as new chemicals?
Information, yeah.
It turns out some animals survive the testing in spite of your best efforts, which is the difference in the testing here.
They do talk about how the AI quickly pointed out that the same chemicals and the same kinds of animals yielded different results. Because some animals are just badasses. You know, like, hey, pour all the shampoo you want in my eyes. I don't care. You know,
no tears here.
Yeah, another gerbil was just rolling around screaming. So,
kind of like chocolate. It's like people can eat chocolate, not a lot of other things can eat chocolate.
Oh yeah, dogs can't have it.
No, these were the same kinds of animals. Just some of them were, they didn't care. You couldn't bother them with them. Mm. But other ones were severely affected. Yeah.
I gotta say, I want a super suit like this. It looks amazing. Look cool. It's like, so this is, it looks like spandex, but it will help old people walk around. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, you just came from the gym in that.
Yeah.
Looks decent.
I think you'd wear that under your clothes. That wouldn't be the, because it's
I would wear that to the airport.
It's for people 70 plus. Oh. So we definitely don't want that.
That's how you get a dose of freedom if you wear that to the airport.
But yeah, the whatever that material is, it's like those you know synthetic muscles, and it just expands and contracts and jerks you around and moves you.
If you wore that enough, like, would your muscles start to like get weaker?
I thought about that. Yeah. Like, plus the other side of that coin, could I get one of those and reverse it and just be constantly training hard because everything's, you know, like 20% harder to do in my daily life?
Those are really popular in the 80s. Like, you would wear like the little weight suit things under your clothes for like power executives in the 80s.
But those weren't super effective in terms of, like, you know, it's hanging most of the time, which is pulling on your joints. But this thing could intelligently combat every move that you make.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
You know what else would be really intelligently?
This is the greatest story.
It is. Ever. I want it.
There's this sun-chasing robot that looks after the plant on its head. So, yeah, it's like a spider robot, and it'll move around to find the sun.
There's GIFs. Scroll down so they can see it. They need to see it in action. Look, it needs sunlight, so it just starts crawling away. And then does it have a sensor not to go off the edge? Like, what if you have it on the edge or something?
I'm sure. Well, only one leg would have to fail. Like
before
it
would be like, yeah.
And this, and he's had too much sun. Back to the shade. And then the best one is the next one. Go. Oh, no, it's the bottom one.
Oh, this is
his
dance.
This is his I need water dance.
Does it see? I didn't get a chance to read all this one. So does it have a way to like input? So like, I brought my plant in so we can see an example. These are chicken and hens, and they're succulents. They don't need a lot of water. Is there a way to change the water input? Like,
they didn't go into a lot of detail. They actually didn't even tell you what kind of sensors they were using to determine all this stuff.
Yeah, because like the water thing, like, I mean, it can vary by plant.
Presumably, yeah, you know, you'd be able to control all that. And they talked about succulents. Actually, they mentioned succulents in the article, that they need different levels of light. So he would know that and vary that based on the plant.
Succulents are pretty hard to kill. Now, I would like to see it with the bonsai tree, like what Wendell had. Can it, does it like have a delousing tank too, like for the aphids when they?
That, but you know what would be great is if it had like a little hanger of tiny versions of itself that it could unleash on the aphids.
I'll just like come in and just eat the aphids off the plant.
Those aphids won't know what hit them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it turns out the office is not a great place for keeping plants alive.
Nah, how about that one at your house?
It's okay. It's not a...
Oh, it made it?
I thought it died.
Oh, well, the one...
It died.
Oh, yeah, there was another one. Number two died. Yeah. So number now two. We're on number three?
There are more than one... There's more than one plant at my house. It's fine.
Hashtag save the plants. They shouldn't be at your house.
I planted some seeds, and the seeds died.
That's like, you know, the
seedlings
women...
Seedlings are hard to keep alive.
You see those women who are like... Well, my first three kids had autism, but number four, we're really hoping we're gonna about roll that.
I rolled a one three times in a row. Surely
what are the chances? Succulents are super easy to keep alive. This thing hasn't had water in a week and it's still alive.
Yeah, we'll see when the aphids arrive.
The aphids haven't arrived.
I don't think the aphids can eat that kind of plant.
They might be able to.
You underestimate the aphids.
Yeah.
Well, we just need some ants to take care of the aphids and we'll be all set.
I thought it was ladybugs.
Ladybugs work. Ants work too.
Just leave some Doritos in it.
So, well, it turns out at my house, because I was paying attention to that, and at my house, there are a lot of ants. And so, like, the aphids on the tail end of all of that, the ants were taking care of the aphid problem, not, like, immediately. It was amazing.
But what do you bring in to control the ants?
I think the population population decline of the aphids naturally keeps the ants in check.
There's a lot of food in houses. I think the ants are good at finding that.
Well, yeah, no, you don't.
You're going to have a major ant problem, is what we're saying.
You don't. It's got to be on the porch or something, which is where
I'm at.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's the outdoor. So, all right.
Yeah, so it's not bad. It could be worse.
Anyway, that was a really long segue to talk about this plant. This thing's amazing, though.
This robot's pretty cool. They didn't give a price either. I imagine it's going to be insanely expensive.
Yeah.
But
it's cool, though. It's holding hands.
It's such a cool little robot.
How do you know you're wealthy? You've got a spider plant.
There's actually a plant called the spider plant. You can put a spider plant in your spider planter.
He also got an incredibly small volume of plant. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of plants.
What happens when that gets the roots get bound up?
Well, you have to have something small, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, well, put it another way. If we'd known that this kind of nonsense would get an article on The Verge, we would have just built it. We would have just built it.
We talked about building something
year.
Like that last
That's,
year.
It does not look too difficult to put together. You know what would be really cool? Again, if his tiny army of anti-aphid robots could also work on constructing a larger version for when the transplant's required.
And then it would tell you, you know, your roots are getting bound up, you know, there's no more space to expand. Yeah. And then it would replant itself.
We're 6 weeks away from launching version two, so don't worry.
You know, if this is an Amazon venture, building the new version, they could just fix that with a software update. It would just simply order a larger version when it's time. Because Amazon, that's how we roll.
And then it would decide what kind of seeds are going to go in the now empty, smaller version that you need in your life.
Basically, you wouldn't need to do any gardening at all, which is the ideal.
Oh, I didn't even think about it, but people are going to grow weed in these things.
I was thinking lavender. I would like to grow lavender in this. I grow lavender at my house. Because it'd make your office smell nice.
Is it? Are enough people going to grow illicit substances in this to warrant Amazon having to turn over records of who bought these to the feds?
It has like a little grow light extension that comes out.
A little army of these things with poppies on them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be cool because it's like you hit the button. It's like, oh, the police are here. And you hit the button and they all scurry away.
Policia! They go really fast. Like, it's kind of scary how fast.
The possibilities are endless. You could do all of that literally with just software. What a time to be alive. Okay, that's enough for this episode. We've gone on too long as it is. We're getting loopy. Stay tuned for nonsense on Friday. What else we got on Friday?
Security.
Security and nonsense.
Security, science, and nonsense.
Okay. We'll
see you Friday.
Bye.